Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast on Thanksgiving morning, the 25th of November, 2021. I'm Andy Eubank. The podcast today brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. FFBT.com to learn more, and happy Thanksgiving from everyone at FFBT. We have Thanksgiving meal tips coming up today on the morning podcast. Also a preview of the 2022 Commodity Classic, a wet Indiana farm forecast from Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, and a sell-off in the markets yesterday, Tom Fritz analysis. The news is next here on Hat.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit FFBT.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Commodity Classic is back and a safe Thanksgiving meal. I'm Eric Pfeiffer and this is Hoosier Ag Today. A major learning opportunity for American farmers is back in early 2022. Andy Eubank is here with a preview.
New Orleans is the spot where the traditional Commodity Classic event returns in March of 2022. Registration and housing opened last week for the largest farmer-led and farmer-focused ag event. Brad Doyle, vice president of American Soybean Association, a member of the Classic Planning Committee, and an Arkansas farmer, says when you add the seminars, trade show, and farmer attendees together.
There's so many great ideas. Farmers that share their great ideas. Yeah, we're hoping for a record crowd this year.
Knowing what's really happening in agriculture is an important piece of planning Commodity Classic.
Every year we look at trends. You know, what do we need to bring? What are the farmers wanting? What information would they want that they haven't heard before? So we want to be cutting edge on what we offer. It's also time for industry to bring new products, introductions, whether it would be mechanical sprayers, new tractors, planters, but also herbicide technology, chemicals, and there's a huge biological push. So there's tons of both large and small industry that will be there promoting their product.
What may set this event apart from others is the access farmers have to the behind-the-scenes technicians working for trade show exhibitors.
To give the farmer explanations of why is it better, why is it newer, why do you need to plant it on your farm, what will it save you money, will it increase your profits.
Commodity Classic is March 10, 11, and 12 in New Orleans. A link to more information and registration is at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank.
Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, fever, chills.
Ugh, that doesn't sound like a very fun Thanksgiving at all. To help avoid all that, you need to avoid these big Thanksgiving dinner no-nos from Meredith Carruthers and the USDA Meat and Poultry Hotline. The first big no-no? Thawing your turkey at room temperature.
The longer that a product, especially raw turkey, is out at room temperature, the more opportunity bacteria have to grow, and those then could create heat-resistant toxins that won't be killed by the cooking process. And then if you eat those, it could essentially make you sick. So big no-no is thawing at room temperature.
So if you did thaw the bird at room temperature instead of starting the process days ago in the fridge, you might just want to pitch it. The next big no-no?
Not sanitizing and cleaning your surfaces after that raw turkey might have been there.
There could be bacteria on the turkey and in the juices if they touched anything else, the countertop, sink, utensils, hands, anything. That bacteria could end up all over the kitchen and eventually in salads or other side dishes. Another big no-no, according to Carruthers, is not using a food thermometer and only relying on that pop-up timer that's in some turkeys. You also can't just go by how the turkey looks. That pop-up timer might let you know that the turkey is up to the safe bacteria-killing temperature of 165 degrees in that particular spot, but perhaps not the whole turkey.
And we really recommend to check the temperature in the thickest part of the breast, the innermost part of the wing, and the innermost part of the thigh.
And one of the best parts of the Thanksgiving dinner, in my opinion, is that there are typically plenty of leftovers to have throughout the weekend. but not if you leave them out for too long.
2 hours is that maximum time frame that they should be allowed to stay out for.
If you have questions about preparing your bird today, the folks at USDA's Meat and Poultry Hotline are on duty from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can go to ask.usda.gov or call 888-MP-HOTLINE. Have a happy Thanksgiving. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
He's the closest thing to a superstar we have in agriculture. Machinery Pete, the nation's foremost expert on farm equipment. He knows where to get the best deals and what the best equipment is for your operation. See Machinery Pete in person December 14th, sponsored by Bain Welker Equipment and Farm Credit Mid-America. Also appearing on December 15th, Ag Tech expert Chad Colby with a special program on drones and a chance for you to win a state-of-the-art drone for your farm. It's all happening at the Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo, presented by Reynolds Farm Equipment, December 14th through 16th. In Westfield, Indiana.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest growing independent seed company. Visit seedgeneticsdirect.com to get your seed guide with pricing. Taking a look at action for your Thanksgiving Day today, you have plenty of time to eat your turkey because it's going to be raining here as we kick off the day. And with that rain, it's not going to be bringing super huge amounts. Few hundreds to maybe 3 or 4 tenths across the Hoosier State. I think action will be done by midday to early afternoon. Holds on the longest in southern Indiana, but still, that means we're not drying, and it's just going to be a little bit too wet to do anything else. So enjoy your turkey, and we'll get back after it the normal way probably tomorrow. Now, cold air is coming in. Definitely seeing cold air take full control as we go through this afternoon and evening. I think that'll give us a little bit of cloud cover as warm air versus cold air battles play out. The warm air is not too far off to the southwest, but we're very cold in all areas for your Friday as well with that mix of clouds and sunshine. Saturday, warm air tries to surge northward, gets over about half to two-thirds of the state. I still think we're below normal on temperatures for your Saturday, and we see a little rip of moisture trying to come through overnight Saturday night into Sunday. A few hundreds to a few tenths is probably what we're dealing with. 50% coverage of the state, mostly central and southern areas. Now, that brings in a refreshed push of north and northwest flow. So I think we'll see lake effect cloud cover in and across the area Sunday late evening and overnight, and then especially Monday. I think that brings lake effect snow to Michigan, but just cloud cover down in Indiana. Temperatures moderate for Tuesday, and then as we go through Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week, we're seeing a very active precipitation track set up out of the northern plains, southern Canadian prairies, across the upper Midwest, and into the Great Lakes. I do believe that drags cloud cover down into Indiana on occasion, particularly next Friday. But we're also going to be seeing warm air trying to come up and meet these areas of precipitation. So it's a little bit up in the air as to who gets what and how it plays out next week. Right now, I feel that Monday through Thursday, at least, the entire state is going to be dry. Friday, we're still dry central and southern Indiana, but I'm watching northern areas closely for more cloud cover and maybe a few hit-and-miss scattered rain showers, but time will tell on that. Behind that, we get back to cold air for the weekend, the 4th and 5th, and I think that likely brings back potential for lake effect, at least in northern areas, and at least talking cloud cover over parts of the state. That's the way things are stacking up. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
A sell-off Wednesday. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. The review is brought to you by Co-Alliance Cooperative, your local agriculture and energy partner for nearly a century. Markets did go lower on Wednesday. Numbers coming up. Market analysis, too. The markets will be closed for the Thanksgiving Day break. Closed Thursday, partial day of trade on Friday. Following Wednesday trade, I checked in for that market analysis with Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Tom, liquidation all around on Wednesday heading into the Thanksgiving break. It appeared maybe the tone was let's take some profits and go get turkey.
I think you're absolutely right. Experience tells me that, you know, call it a three-day hiatus, if you will. You know, the day before Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, if a market's on an extreme, more times than not, we'll see some sort of profit taking. And as far as I'm concerned, today was no difference. The profit taking started in the wheat market. Chicago wheat suffered the worst. And adding to that, you know, I don't think there's going to be any deliveries in Kansas City wheat or Minneapolis wheat, but Chicago wheat, it's a horse of another color. So I think that suffered the biggest losses on the day. First notice day is next Tuesday. And, one thing we cannot ignore, the dollar has been on quite a run higher, and the strength in the dollar just continues to, inhibit our exporting capability. It just continues to make U.S. origin that much more expensive. So I think that weighed on the wheat market. But as you see, Minneapolis was, 3 cents higher on the day. Kansas City off 6 to 7, whereas Chicago's off 17 to 19. So a lot of intermarket spreading to go along with the flat price profit taking. Some of that selling in the wheat did spill over into corn. Corn only, Dease corn, you look at it, 3/4 lower on the day. March corn down 2 3/4 on the day. Spread improves another 2 cents. I think that just tells us going forward, don't hold your breath on seeing any corn deliveries come next Tuesday. Cash markets remain quite strong for corn, whether it's from the ethanol processor or whether it's from the exporter. 2 weeks ago, it was all about ethanol demand, and now you've got the exporter, the interior exporter, clamoring for corn. So you've got strong basis, strong spreads, and prior to today's run of profit-taking, today's high in Dease corn, 589, that was a new high for the rally we've been on. So, to me, that's all the ingredients of a bull market. But, as we mentioned earlier, you've got some profit taking today. But, overall, like I said, strong cash markets, strong futures. That's the mix that's needed for, bull market. Soybeans, I think soybeans fell victim to the strength in the dollar and the growing conditions in South America. I'm not sure you could ask for better conditions right now. The Brazilian crop has been planted in an extremely timely manner. They've gotten, more than ample amounts of moisture. Argentina's been a little dry, but they've got moisture, good moisture in their forecast. So, I think the soybean market was prone for some profit taking. And I think you have to realize that if Brazil does indeed have that outstanding crop that right now it looks that way, come late January, February, they're going to be, in line with an extreme amount of exportable supply. And that's just going to kill our export market. But for the time being, you look at the crusher, the soybean crusher, he's still enjoying some really good margins. Not as strong as they were a week ago, but still some really good margins. That tends to keep the soybean market, let's call it, alive. Soybean meal, which was the stalwart of the complex last week, is now the weak sister. If I had to guess, it's the crushers finally getting caught up. But so far, cash markets for meal continue to be strong. But I think the need for soybean oil, in response to an energy market that doesn't want to break. Sure, we've had a sell-off, but it just really doesn't want to sustain a major sell-off. That helps out soybean oil, as does continued strength in the palm oil market. So, I've always said when soybean meal is leading the rally, soybeans are going to go along for the ride. When soybean oil is leading the rally, it keeps soybeans alive. And I think that's what we're looking at right now.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago on the Wednesday market review. And the markets did go down Wednesday, 3/4 down on Dease corn, 579 3/4. March and May down 2 3/4. March, 585.5. May going to 590. 6.5 lower, Jan soybeans, 1266.5. March contract, 1277.25 off 7.25. And again, leading the way lower, wheat. Chicago December wheat, 8. 36¾, 19¼ down. Livestock did have an up day with cattle futures again leading the way. December, 137.90, up $2.50. And December lean hogs strong too, 75.42, up $1.27. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Market Review. Markets closed for Thanksgiving Day. This is Hoosier Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.